Welcome to Speaking with Influence, where you'll hear professional speakers discussing their signature talks and how they educate, motivate, and inspire their audiences around the world. Speaking with Influence is brought to you by the Speakers Guild USA, where we have the perfect speaker for your next event. Visit us at speakersguildusa.com. Well, good morning. I'm Deborah Simpson coming to you from San Diego, California. If any of our listeners are on Twitter, and especially if you're a professional speaker, I'd appreciate you hitting that tweet this button and let your followers know about the show. If you have a question, you can feel free to call in. The number is 516-595-8125. Or you can send me a question via the chat room. It is open. And if you like the show, you can follow the show by tapping the follow us button on the show page. Of course, you can always keep up with us via iTunes. Today, my guest is Parshub Batham, and he is known as an innovator and an entrepreneur and has more than 30 years of senior executive management experience. He, like many of the people in his audiences, was a frequent business traveler, consultant, and presenter. As a key executive with four successful software and professional services companies, including Computer Pundits Corporation, the company he founded and ran as president, CEO, and CTO, and he used his proficiency in innovation, executive management, and forward-thinking vision for corporate development and governance. He successfully delivered software solutions to world-renowned customers, including, among others, the National Football League, Cargill, Train, Xerox, Global, Motorola, Lennox, and CSX Railroad. His new liver, health, and sobriety has given him the renewed energy to start a new software company while sharing his story with others. Parshub, okay. Welcome to the show. It's nice to have you with me today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And I am very excited to talk.
Yes. Yeah, it's very interesting what you do. So I wanted to ask you, I know you had to make some decisions about speaking. So what was it that made you decide that you had a message that was so passionate that you wanted to become a speaker?
You know, I since I got seriously ill with multiple organ failures in March of 2018 and went through the whole trauma and recovery process, and I had to go through a lot of sessions where many speakers came in and talked about different subjects. And also in my business life, over 30 plus years, I have gone to many trade shows and conferences and sat down in many speaking events. I never saw anyone talking about use of alcohol in socialization, especially business socialization. So while I was sick and going through the process of getting prepared for a liver transplant, I thought that this is the time to talk about a disease which is fourth largest killer in the United States.
And that has to do with the alcohol intake. I know that we have talked offline about the, you know, like you're in the business community and the Chamber of Commerce has a networking event and everybody goes. And there's always at every business event I've ever been to, there's always been either beer or wine available to drink. So, you know, when we business owners get into that situation where, and I'll just make the confession, I've been down that road where, you know, alcohol starts to become more important. How does that impair business? So, for instance, if you were networking in a business event, how would you know that you were drinking more or less to excess? What would you be doing there?
Well, a person who's drinking a lot, especially in my my life and my experience in business world, at some point you will start talking too much to a point where you can tell that you have too much to drink and it's time to maybe slow down. And actually, I didn't realize that until I met with my wife and your And she used to work in one of these associations, and she told me after one event that, you know, you should start drinking some water after having 2-3 drinks in place of water. And that's what that helped. Talking more, and then realizing next day that you have talked stuff that you should not have talked to your customer. That's when is the time to know that you are drinking too much.
Yeah, how do you approach people in sharing that message with them? I would think that when you're speaking, I know this is one of your talking points when you speak. It was cirrhosis of the liver, correct?
That is correct.
And so when you're talking, when you're speaking, what kind of, how do you start it with people having a conversation with it? Do they feel uncomfortable or like you're intruding, or are they welcoming of that conversation?
It's very interesting that when I talk about it, I don't talk about that what people should do. I talk about my story, what happened to me in my professional life. I traveled as much as 80% of the time, and meeting with top executives, going to the trade shows and conferences, it all relates to their life. And then talking about what I did, the socialization, alcohol in every single corner I can go to, alcohol when I go to the airport and go to the airline club and get in the first class seat in the plane, going to the hotel and having a drink and meeting with someone and then going for the dinner, having more drink, coming back and having more drink. So people start realizing that that is their life also. And then what happened to me? That I ignored all the warning signs, and at one point I was suddenly had multiple organ failure. So people don't think that is something that I'm intruding into their life, but they start relating to it. And actually what I see there is enthusiasm. I see that people want to talk to me more. And if I give them time while I'm speaking, that I will have a lot of questions. And most of the time, there won't be enough time, and I will end up talking to them afterwards. And then I hear more thank you, and people want to talk to me more even later after I leave, than them thinking that I'm intruding in their life.
And when you're talking to them, do you talk to them about getting seeking out help? Like I know AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, is a huge organization with a lot of different opportunities to meet, or do you talk to them maybe about going to their doctor and talking to their doctor? Or, you know, it's kind of hard to approach people about
right.
their drinking, or even, and I assume it's a much easier process when you're actually creating a presentation about
right.
how some forms of socialization can be to our detriment versus others.
No, I don't tell them to go to any particular organization like
yeah.
AA. What I tell them is what happened to me, what I did. I end up actually going to, I had only two options. People do not know that you cannot get a liver transplant. You cannot be put on the list until you go through some kind of recovery process and they are sure that you're not going to drink again, psychologically, not just physically.
Mm-hmm.
Or so when I tell them that what process I went through, and when I tell them that, you know, I was ignoring what my doctor even told me, that I have symptoms, and they may become cirrhosis later on in my life. And then what I did, so basically it relates back to them that maybe they should go to doctor, maybe they should get tested, maybe they should be concerned about. Maybe they should sign up for some kind of recovery process that is not only for people who have cirrhosis of the liver. Actually, I was the only one who was there who had cirrhosis of the liver. most of the people, they had some other issue, drugs, or they may have both alcohol and drugs. So, and then I did go to some AA meetings, but that was not my process of recovery completely. So I don't really relate to or say that go to any particular thing, but I think people get the idea that maybe they should get checked up with the doctor. Maybe they should go to some organization or talk to someone, some therapist.
Well, what was the first indicator that you had that you were having some sort of medical issue that led to the diagnosis of cirrhosis and then to the, you know, the fact that you were drinking?
Oh, there were many, many indications, and I guess doctors and myself both ignored those facts. When your liver goes bad, a lot of things happen. Even before you have fluid that builds up in your body. For example, liver controls all your nutrition, everything from salt to potassium to everything. And then in my case, on the hindsight, doctor now know that my sodium was getting low. And one day I was in the kitchen, I was cutting a chicken, and I just fell down, like I lost power in my body. And the ambulance came, they took me to the hospital, and actually I was up within 2 seconds. I got all my energy back, and I was up. But they took me to the hospital, and they tested, they kept me 8 hours there, and they said, there's nothing wrong with me. I was probably just dehydrated. Second time it happened again, a month and a half later, I was in some restaurant, and all of a sudden I just fell down on the table. And they still ignore that fact. So some of these signs start happening in different ways. People won't know. The last one was that my skin was all itchy. So I went to doctor for a skin problem, and they treated me for a skin problem. They never even tested that I may have some liver issue, because that's one of the signs of liver issue, serious liver issue. And finally, one other thing happens is if liver is bad, it doesn't clean your blood, and you start building ammonia in your head. And when that happens, then you lose what you're talking. So that's what happened to me the night before. I was hospitalized. My wife noticed that I am talking that's not making sense. I never talk that way. And then she called my brother and took me to the hospital.
Wow. That's an amazing story. I never talked to anybody who has had that experience before. How do you talk? You know, it's when we're in business and we go to these different events, there's always alcohol there. And you're in the business event and everybody's kind of in a jovial mood and drinking. I know what I do in my instance when I'm a big fan of ginger beer. I love ginger. I love ginger beer. So for me, it's really easy. You know, I'll just ask for a ginger beer and nobody says anything. What are some of your go-to strategies when you're at an event like that and alcohol is being served?
There are many ways.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, there are many people that do in different ways. For example, one person I know, in the hindsight now, I look back to these people who didn't drink that much, so they stopped. So one person, he used to get drinks in front of people, in front of me and many other business people. And he will buy drinks for everyone, and he will buy for himself. And then as soon as he gets a chance, he will go and dump it somewhere, even in the plant sitting somewhere. And he will ask for something else, like Diet Coke or cranberry juice. And then he will keep drinking in front of people. Other person, he will just have Diet Coke and lemon right out, just saying that he doesn't drink until dinner time. So there are many ways people can do that. And in my case, I used to, when I was trying to cut it down, although it was only for a few days, I'll cut it down and I will back onto the same track. I will have water in one hand and water in another glass in another hand, and then I will hide my drink somewhere and drink. So it depends upon different people what they want to do. But my suggestion will be use something like Diet Coke or some other drink if you want to socialize and make people think that you're drinking, but you're not drinking, just like you use ginger beer.
Is drinking still, do you think, a stigma amongst business owners?
I don't think drinking is stigma. I think drinking is, if you don't drink, then people think, why you're not drinking? Maybe you don't socialize. You're a very...
Right. I should have phrased that question that in that manner, the not drinking. I have an organization that meets every month. And afterwards, there's always the meeting after the meeting. And that's when all the wine glasses come out and all the couple of different wine bottles come out. And it's almost as if the drinking is part of the social event of having the luncheon for the organization. And I've personally found it really easy to just say, no, I don't drink. I mean, that's when I was raised in the Salvation Army. My parents were Salvation Army ministers. And the Salvation Army was founded on the premise of saving the people who were down and out and the alcoholics who were drinking so much. So in the Salvation Army, you're never allowed to drink alcohol. So I never had that growing up. And then, of course, you get into your teen years and you start experimenting, and then, you know, you get into young adulthood. But when you go into the business community, so often a lot of these events, like the evening networking events, all seem to incorporate alcohol into them. I haven't had a problem with saying, no, I don't drink. Nobody usually asks me why, and if they did, I'd tell them everything anyway. But I would have to think that there are some strategies that people can employ who don't drink, and I don't even have a problem telling people, no, I don't drink because I'm an alcoholic, so I'm not going to drink. I don't ever see that as a problem, but I'm assuming others probably do. So it just seems to me that people should have some sort of strategy when they're out there about, you know, what they want to drink at these events. And I would think it would behoove business organizations maybe to step back for a moment and think about the amount of alcohol that they make available at their events. Has that been something that you've thought about, talking to actual business organizations who have regular meetings, like Chamber of Commerce's, about, you know, how much alcohol they serve at their events?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's one thing that I do mention when I'm speaking. And you're right that after meetings, you socialize, and it's like second meeting. But I've been going to a lot of these meetings for a very long time, and what I'm realizing in the last few years especially, that it's not just the evening event. Now you have alcohol available during the weekdays in trade shows, conferences, beginning from 11 o'clock. And actually one show I went to, it was 10 o'clock. And it was trade show booths had free wine and beer. So it's like it's you can't stop if you're drinking and you drink, or people are pushing you into it everywhere you want to go. So, yes, I do talk about it, and I think something got to happen because this is, again, it's the fourth largest killer in the country. And there is something nobody
what?
Wants to talk about. It's the fourth largest killer in the country.
Oh, killer. Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I bet. Just even the liability that events have for people who become intoxicated at the event, then leave the event and go out and have an accident and someone's hurt seriously or loses their lives out there. I'm really surprised that events would have alcohol so early in the day, though. I don't really go to events like that. But I'm assuming when you go to a big expo that is over 3 days and there are wineries there. In fact, I've seen wineries showcase at different business expos where, you know, it's in during the day. I don't know. I never drank actually during the day per se. Mine was always at night. So how do the organizations that you're speaking at receive the message that you're imparting to their audience?
They see the motivation to the people to slow down. They don't. Organizations have not taken any steps not to have alcohol, but they want people to be aware of the fact that things as serious as what happened to me could happen to them. That they ignore. People think it doesn't happen to them. So that's the message I'm seeing there. But hopefully, at some point, people start realizing that having alcohol available every single time of the day is not a good idea.
No, it's not. So what type of events are you looking to speak at? Where are they at that you'd like to be able to impact with this message?
The biggest problem I see there and where it creates a health problem for sure is organizations where their sales and marketing people, they have to travel. That's where the most impact I can make by speaking, because these are people that travel all the time and they socialize, finding people, golf clubs and anywhere you can imagine. They have some sense of issue, and that's where I like to speak, or I speak.
Do you speak to sales teams? Because it would have seemed to me, as my husband's been in sales forever, it would seem to me that a sales team is more likely to probably go out in the evening if they're at a trade show or something. So do you look for businesses that you're able to speak to their sales divisions?
That is correct. It's an easy place for me to go and speak, especially luncheons. Sometimes they have sales, yearly sales motivation or yearly sales meeting and inviting me over to talk for 45 minutes to an hour at lunchtime. That's one kind of event that I participate and I like to participate more.
And when you contracted cirrhosis of the liver, when you're thinking about the different businesses, I'm assuming that probably is a financial hit to any person who might contract cirrhosis of the liver and have to go through the process to be able to come out on the other side more healthy. Are companies looking into that as, you know, that affecting the benefits, the medical benefits that they're giving to their salespeople, that they might be racking up some bigger charges because they've been diagnosed with cirrhosis of the liver due to drinking that could possibly be even more impacted by their position as a salesperson?
Well, the only company I know was my company, because they end up incurring more expenses. Companies are not realizing yet the cost of cost they are incurring, because a lot of times they don't know. They know that some person is sick, but their group, because of privacy laws, they don't know that who is increasing in that group. They can sense some that who may be. But yes, it is a major thing, especially for medium-sized companies where they don't have a big enough group. And so it is going to be a major thing. That's what I want to make companies aware of that you may be incurring cost of healthcare, some bigger cost if you don't do something about it. But unfortunately, currently, I don't think companies are doing anything to stop it. I don't recall anyone that I met who even think about this subject.
I want to take a minute out here, and I'd like you to share for the listeners how they might be able to get in touch with you in case they'd like to have you come in and speak to their office or at their event about socializing and what the role alcohol plays in socializing. So if you would just share how they can get in touch with you, that would be great.
They can send me an email at B as in Paul, B as in Boy, Mobile, MOBILE 9@gmail.com, or they can call me directly. Number is 612-840-8090.
And I know that we have covered a lot of ground because I'm so interested in this topic, and of course, that we in small businesses, especially some smaller businesses where oftentimes the owner is the sales manager or the sales rep as well. I'm sorry, I got lost there for a moment. I would appreciate them being able to get in touch with you. Oh, I know what it was. I'm sorry. This is where I ask you, what should I have asked you that I didn't ask you? Although I think I came out with a lot of questions for you.
one thing, you didn't ask me what happened to my business that I was running. And actually, because of the sickness, because I was sick for almost 9 months last year, I ended up selling my business, and I did not get the value of the business because I had to sell in a hurry. I did not know I was surviving.
So selling the business was something that you had to do. So you're restarting then?
I sold my business last year and I have started a new company now. A lot of people don't have that opportunity and to be in that position to be in the business again. So I was very lucky in that sense to get delivered that quick. Typically people are waiting for 4 years, 5 years if they have certain blood type like O.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so happy that you're on. Go ahead.
By that time they get delivered, their body is so deteriorated, they never fully recovered. So I was very lucky in that sense that I was able to get delivered in time.
Wow. Well, I'm happy that you're with us and that you're on that path to a healthy, much better healthy life. I love the fact that you're out there helping small business owners. It would have been nice for me to have met someone like you much earlier than I did when I finally decided that it was time for me to stop that, not only the social drinking, but drinking completely. And I just really appreciate that you've spent the time with me today. I hope that the listeners will get in touch with you about coming into their organization to talk about how best to socialize when there's alcohol around. So, Prashub, thank you so much for being my guest today. I really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, and thank you for giving me opportunity to come to your show.
It's my pleasure. And that is the show for today. If you are a speaker and you'd like to share your passionate message with my listeners here at Speaking with Influence, feel free to contact me. The number is 760-685-1960, or send me an email, Deborah, DEBRA, @speakersguildusa.com. Until next week, I hope you have a safe and prosperous week.
Speaking with Influence is brought to you by Speakers Guild USA, where we have the perfect speaker for your next event. Visit us at speakersguildusa.com.